வந்தேஹம் ஸ்ரீகுரு.
The following is a class on the nectar of devotion given by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, recorded on the 27th of January 1973 in Calcutta, India.
Sri Rupam Chakra Jatam. 25?
Yes.
Yes, go on.
These devices are meant for producing agricultural products, trading them and distributing them. And the working class, or sudras, are those who haven't the intelligence of the Brahmins or the Kshatriyas or the Vaishyas, and therefore they are meant to help these higher classes by bodily labor. In this way, there is full cooperation and spiritual advancement amongst all the different orders of society. And when there is no such cooperation, the members of society will fall down. That is the present position.
That is everywhere. Even in our society, Krishna conscious society, if there is no mutual cooperation, then it will fall down immediately. So, as Sri Goswami advises, the first thing is enthusiasm. Usaha dhaja tatat karma pravartana tatat karma pravartana sato vritti sadhu sange sarahi bhakti prasiddhati. If we want actually to make progress in our devotional life, the usaha, enthusiasm, is the first. If you are lacking enthusiasm, then you should rest. Instead of making too much agitation within the mind, if you cannot find out how something is dropped in the water, in the river, you cannot see the things dropped within the water by agitating the water. Just stand still for some time, as soon as the water is settled up, you see the things are there. So, as soon as our enthusiasm is agitated, it is better to sit down in any temple suitable and chant Hare Krishna. There is no question of being disappointed. After all, we commit so many mistakes. That is human nature to err is human. That is not fault. But try to rectify with cool head, that is the man. So similarly, there are different classes of men in the society, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. They should cooperate for the common cause. They do not know the common cause. The common cause is Krishna. For Krishna's service, we should submit to the immediate officer, commander, just like soldiers. Soldier, there is no question of discrimination. Whatever is ordered by the commander, immediately done. What?
That is the present position in the Kali Yuga, this age of quarrel. Nobody is doing his duty, and everyone is simply puffed up by calling himself a Brahmin, intellectual, or a Kshatriya, soldier or statesman. But actually, such people are without status.
This is the statement, exactly. Everyone has to do his duty. Otherwise, simply by name, I have become a great devotee. But if I do not do what is enjoined in the Shastra or the spiritual master, then that is simply false, puffed up position. God.
They are out of touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead because they are not Krishna conscious. Therefore, the Krishna consciousness movement is intended to set the whole of human society in proper condition so that everyone will be happy and take profit from developing Krishna consciousness. Lord Sri Krishna instructed Uddhava that by following the injunctions of the social and spiritual orders of human society, One can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as a result of such satisfaction, the whole society gets all the necessities of life, amply and without difficulty. This is because, after all, the Supreme Personality of Godhead maintains all their living entities. If the whole world performs its respective duties and remains in Krishna consciousness, there is no doubt that all of its members will live very peacefully and happily. Without wanting the necessities of life, the whole world will be turned into Vaikuntha, a spiritual abode. Even without being transferred to the kingdom of God, by following the injunctions of the Srimad Bhagavatam and prosecuting the duties of Krishna consciousness, all human society will be happy in all respects.
Now, what is the argument against this? Now, we say, simply by developing Krishna consciousness, every member in the society, human society, will be happy. This is our purpose. Now discuss on this point, whether actually people will be happy or unhappy. What is the counter-argument? Well, it should be understood by threadbare discussion how Krishna consciousness movement can make the whole society happy. This is the proposal. Now those who are not Krishna conscious, what argument they will forward against this proposition?
If everybody started chanting Hare Krishna, how would we go to the factory?
So that means the world as it is going on, it is a necessity. Do you think like that? This world as it is going on, fighting one another, killing one another, stealing one's property, and do you think that this order of things must go on? Just like this, it is a proposal that everyone becomes honest, how the prison house go on? It will be stopped. That's a great anxiety. Do you think the prison house there is necessity? That it must go on? That answer was given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that Vasudev Datta proposed, "My dear Lord, you have come, you take all the sinful persons from this world, let them be delivered, as you have personally come. So, if you think they are so sinful, they cannot be taken back to home, back to Godhead, then I take all their sins, you take them on." That was his offer. Vaishnava thinks like that, that he may remain in the hell, but by Krishna consciousness, everyone may be delivered. That is real Vaishnava. Paradukha dukhi. Vaishnava is unhappy by seeing others unhappy. Paradukha dukhi. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, suppose I take all the living entities of this universe, and still there are so many other universes. This universe is just like one mustard seed in the bag of mustard seed. So you do not think that everyone will become Krishna conscious. You don't be, agitated with this thought that prison house will be closed. No, it will go on, the business will go on. It is not so easy that everyone should. But if some percentage of people take to Krishna consciousness, leading men, then it will be. They will follow. Jajjad asharati sreshta, lokastad anuvartate. You do not think that the bad habits are people, non-Krishna conscious, will stop altogether. No. That is not possible. One has got to think over this. It will go on, side by side, because this is material world. Maya. Maya is very strong. But those who are taking shelter of Krishna, for them, there is no unhappiness. Vishnam Purnam Sukhaya. For them the whole world becomes happy. There is no question of this.
There is a similar statement by Sri Krishna himself to Uddhava in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th chapter, 2nd verse. The Lord says there, "My dear Uddhava, all persons are engaged in activities, whether those indicated in the revealed scriptures or ordinary worldly activities. If by the result of either of such activities they worship me in Krishna consciousness, then automatically they become very happy within this world as well as in the next. Of this there is no doubt." We can conclude from this statement by Krishna that activities in Krishna consciousness will give everyone all perfection in their desires. Thus the Krishna consciousness movement is so nice that there is no need of even designating oneself Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha or Sannyasi. Let everyone be engaged in whatever occupation he now has. Simply let him worship Lord Krishna by the result of his activities in Krishna consciousness. That will adjust the whole situation and everyone will be happy and peaceful within this world. In the Narada Pancharatra, the regulative...
Everyone means one who takes to Krishna consciousness. Everyone does not mean that one who does not. But if one takes to Krishna consciousness, by his influence, hundreds will be happy. Hundreds. So if few people, if they become Krishna conscious, then there will be tremendous benefit to the human society. Not that everyone will become Krishna conscious. By the presence of really pure Krishna conscious person, many people will be benefited.
In the Narada Pancharatra, the regulative principles of devotional service are described as follows. Any activities sanctioned in the revealed scriptures and aiming at satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are accepted by saintly teachers as the regulative principles of devotional service.
This is the primary point. Whatever Lokiki and Vaidiki, Vaidiki means according to the scriptures, and Lokiki means ordinary, common activities. Both of them, when they are executed for satisfaction of Krishna, it is immediately transcendental.
If somebody regularly executes such service under the Supreme Personality of Godhead, under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master, then gradually he rises to the platform of serving in pure love of God. Chapter 3. Eligibility of the candidate for accepting devotional service. On account of his association with Mahatmas, or great souls, 100% in the devotional service of the Lord, one may attain a little bit of attraction for Sri Krishna. But at the same time, one may remain very much attached to fruitive activities and material sense enjoyments and not be prepared to undergo the different types of renunciation. Such a person, if he has unflinching attraction to Krishna, becomes an eligible candidate for discharging devotional service. This attraction for Krishna consciousness in association with pure devotees is the sign of great fortune. It is confirmed by Lord Chaitanya that only the fortunate persons, by the mercy of both the bona fide spiritual master and Krishna, will get the seed of devotional service. In this connection, Lord Krishna says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 20th chapter, verse 8, "My dear Uddhava, only by exceptional fortune does someone become attracted to me, Krishna. And even if one is not completely detached from fruitive activities, or is not completely attached to devotional service, such service is quickly effective." Devotees can be divided into three classes. The first, or uppermost class, is described as follows. One is very expert in the study of relevant scriptures, and he is also expert in putting forward arguments in terms of those scriptures. He can very nicely present conclusions with perfect discretion, and can consider the ways of devotion.
These are the symptoms of topmost devotee. He has got full knowledge in scripture. He can argue on the basis of scripture. He can convince the other party These are the symptoms of Uttamadhikari.
He understands perfectly that the ultimate goal of life is to attain to the transcendental loving service of Krishna. And he knows that Krishna is the only object of worship and love. This first class devotee is one who has strictly followed the rules and regulations under the training of a bona fide spiritual master, and has sincerely obeyed him in accord with revealed scriptures. Thus being fully trained to preach and become a spiritual master himself, he is considered first class. A first class devotee never deviates from the principles of higher authority, and he attains firm faith in the scriptures by understanding with all reasons and arguments. When we speak of arguments and reason, it means arguments and reason on the basis of revealed scripture. The first class devotee is not interested in dry speculative methods meant for wasting time. In other words, one who has attained a mature determination in the matter of devotional service can be accepted as the first class devotee. The second class devotee has been defined by the following symptoms. He is not very expert in arguing on the strength of revealed scripture, but he has firm faith in the objective. The purport of this description is that the second class devotee has firm faith in the procedure of devotional service under Krishna, but he may sometimes fail to offer arguments and decisions on the strength of revealed scripture to an opposing party. But at the same time, he is still undaunted within himself as to his decision that Krishna is the supreme object of worship. The neophyte or third class devotee is one whose faith is not strong and at the same time does not recognize the decision of the revealed scripture. The neophyte's faith can be changed by someone else with strong arguments or by an opposite decision. Unlike the second class devotee, who also cannot put forward arguments and evidences from the scripture, but who still has all faith in the objective, the neophyte has no firm faith in the objective. Thus he is called the neophyte devotee. Further classification of the neophyte devotee is made in the Bhagavad Gita. It is stated there that four classes of men, namely those who are distressed, those who are in need of money, those who are inquisitive, and those who are wise, begin devotional service and come to the Lord for relief in the matter of their respective self-satisfaction. They go into some place of worship and pray to God for mitigation of material distress or for some economic development or to satisfy their inquisitiveness. And a wise man who simply realizes the greatness of God is also counted amongst the neophytes. Such beginners can be elevated to the second class or first class platform if they associate with pure devotees. An example of the neophyte class is Maharaj Dhruva. He was in need of his father's kingdom and therefore engaged himself in devotional service to the Lord. Then in the end, when he was completely purified, he declined to accept any material benediction from the Lord. Similarly, Gajendra was also distressed and prayed to Krishna for protection, after which he became a pure devotee. Similarly, Sanaka, Sanatana, Sananda, and Sanat Kumara were all in the category of wise, saintly persons, and they were also attracted by devotional service. A similar thing happened to the assemblage in the Namacharanya forest headed by the sage Sonaka. They were inquisitive and were always asking Suta Goswami about Krishna. Thus they achieved the association of a pure devotee and became pure devotees themselves. So that is the way of elevating oneself. In whatever condition one may be, if he is fortunate enough to associate with pure devotees, then very quickly he is elevated to the second class or first class platform. These four types of devotees have been described in the seventh chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, and they have all been accepted as pious. Without becoming pious, no one can come to devotional service. It is explained in the Bhagavad Gita that only one who has continually executed pious activities and whose sinful reactions in life have completely stopped can take to Krishna consciousness. Others cannot. The neophyte devotees are classified into four groups: the distressed, those who are in need of money, the inquisitive, and the wise, according to their gradations of pious activities. Without pious activities, if a man is in a distressed condition, he becomes an agnostic, communist, or something like that. Because he does not firmly believe in God, he thinks that he can adjust his distressed condition by totally disbelieving in Him. Lord Krishna, however, has explained in the Gita that out of these four types of neophytes, the one who is wise is very dear to Him, because a wise man, if he is attached to Krishna, is not seeking an exchange of material benefits. A wise man who becomes attached to Krishna does not want any return from Him, neither in the form of relieving distress nor in gaining money. This means that from the very beginning, his basic principle of attachment to Krishna is more or less love. Furthermore, due to his wisdom and study of Shastra and scriptures, he can understand also that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead.